And good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening to everyone watching on YouTube afterwards. Hare Krishna. Well, I must admit, I got a little confused because they asked me to give a talk on 50 years since 1973 to 2023, 50 years. And I got a little confused. I said, well, a lot of things happened at that time. Pink Floyd had a release of Dark Side of the Moon, stayed in the top 200 for the next 33 years. That was pretty good. Mike Oldfield released Tubular Bells. That was also pretty good. Then someone called Bill Gates started something in his garage. That turned out pretty big as well. Beginning of Microsoft. UK joined the European Economic Union in 1973. That turned out not so great. What else happened in 1973? Well, somebody had the bright idea of having two turntables. He was a DJ, and he had two turntables, and he was invited to do a girl's birthday party in the Bronx. So with these two turntables, he got the breakbeats from one record and another breakbeats from another record, and he played them so people could dance. Great idea. 3 years later, that became something known as, let me check my notes because I'm an old man, hip hop. Is that right? Have I got that right? So I had to phone the man for clarification. I said, look, the first cell phone was manufactured. The first cell phone call, the first mobile phone was 1973. What is it that you want me to talk about that's earth-shattering, world-changing that happened in 1973? He said, no, Kripa Moya, you're getting old. You're getting befuddled. We want you to talk about the installation of Radha Gokulananda and the last 50 years of Bhaktivedanta Manor. I said, oh, why didn't you say so? They said, we did, many times. I said, oh. So here we are. I would like to talk to you today, not about any other thing that changed the world, but something which really did change the world spiritually. We have our cultural icons, and we have our technological icons, and we have our political icons. But what is most important for people is a spiritual icon, a spiritual revolution that began in 1973 here. Now, you could say, well, Bhaktivedanta Manor has relevance for the Indian community of Northwest London. That's wonderful. You could say that it has some relevance to the United Kingdom population. That's true. But I want to point out that Bhaktivedanta Manor has great relevance for the rest of the world in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. But we'll start at the beginning. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Janani Vasan Pankajangri Ki Jai. One of the greatest exports of the United Kingdom to the rest of the world. Thank you. We've exported them. We very rarely get them back, but we've exported them. So everybody has heard the story of how Bhaktivedanta Manor came to be. Of course, it was chosen. But it wasn't originally going to be here. Bhaktivedanta Manor, or its equivalent, was originally going to be in Notting Hill, a district in London that had proved very suitable for the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We used to do Harinam on Oxford Street, but as much as going down Oxford Street, we would go down Portobello Road. Portobello Road was where the hip crowd was. And my first Harinam that I went on was down a very crowded Portobello Road. And at the bottom there was the hip scene of the marketplace. And so Notting Hill was proving very fertile. So Prabhupada had asked where they would have the next temple. Someone said Notting Hill. Someone said to Prabhupada, well, Prabhupada, Notting Hill is only 5 miles away from Radhalananeshwara. And posed Prabhupada the question, how can you have a temple only 5 miles away from the London Temple? And to which Prabhupada replied, he said, London is such a big city, you can have 10 temples in one city. Hallelujah. How many have we got now? One? Two? So he said, well, no. He said, you can have another one 5 miles away and another one 5 miles away from that. Can you hear okay, everyone? That's okay. You can't hear. Can someone do it? Because I lack the technological expertise. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. That's better. That's better. Now I can sound like a third world dictator. So, Prabhupada said to, I guess it was Dhananjaya, then we have a set of deities in India used for the Delhi Pandal program, and they can come to England. And when you start a temple in Notting Hill, you can have these deities there. So then in between, George Harrison came and said, well, what you really need is a big headquarters in the countryside, like the, whether it was Paramahamsa Yogananda or the Self-Realization Fellowship, one of the organizations that was around at the time. So Prabhupada, as usual, said, well, if you buy it, we'll move there gladly. So Bhaktivedanta Manor became the Notting Hill Temple. And for many, many years, there was two temples in London listed in Back to Godhead magazine. London City, brackets, close brackets, and London, brackets, country, close brackets. And the two temples were just united in their outreach activity, and there was no competition between them because devotees were flowing in between. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning. Because we often hear, they say those who win history, they get to tell the story of history. So often we get the American spellings in our books, we get the American history of ISKCON. I want to give you a little history about the British history of ISKCON, shall I? Yay. Sorry, Americans. Britain has a history which began when Prabhupada came here. On the most memorable date for Americans, not the 4th, apart from the 4th of July, September the 11th. September the 11th, 1969 was when Prabhupada came to Heathrow. And he was picked up in John Lennon's white Rolls Royce that John Lennon had sent and brought to Titmuss Park, which is a place owned by the Cadbury family near Ascot. It's in a village called Sunning Hill, still there. And Prabhupada's first visitors on his first ever visit to England was John Lennon, Yoko Ono, and George Harrison. And that's where we get some of the Chant and Be Happy book from. So they were impressed with him. And the first English disciple was Kulashekar, who had been initiated quite recently. And Prabhupada taught him how to play the mridanga. And one day they went on a morning walk. And this is a story which doesn't appear very often. So it's on John Lennon's estate early in the morning. Prabhupada's going for a walk. Kulashekar remembers. He says, Prabhupada went out on his morning walk and there were only three people with him. Normally, devotees were overprotective of Prabhupada, which he knew, and so he enjoyed finding himself with just the three of us. We came to a field where the golden grass had grown up to about 6 feet tall. There were two tire tracks through this grass, and it created a small passageway through the field. Prabhupada stopped at the entrance and turned to me. He shook his head a little and asked, pointing his cane to the field entrance, can we go through here? I thought for a minute and decided that if there was going to be a tractor coming through that field from the opposite direction, we would hear it ages before it could reach us, as it was early morning and there was nothing stirring. I said, yes, Prabhupada, and he beamed. We set off through this tunnel, completely surrounded by this golden grass. When we got to the middle of the field, there was a small hill right in the center of the field, and we walked up, and we were standing about 5 feet higher than the grass in the field, and it was very beautiful. The sun had not risen yet. This period is what the photographers call the magic hour. There is a special quality to the light at this time that is especially great for photography due to the soft, bright, natural light. As we were walking up the hill, I asked Prabhupada what the song meant that we had recorded the day before in his room. Kulashekar, Prabhupada taught him how to play mridanga, and then with a few perfunctory beats of the new bhakta, Prabhupada said, "That'll do," and they recorded a song. In answer to my question, Prabhupada replied, "That song was about Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party. They would go out for kirtan at this time in the morning. This is the time when Lord Chaitanya would go out for Sankirtan, when the sun has risen, yet is not in the sky, and he would dance." And then he hooked his cane over his forearm and raised both hands in the air and started dancing, standing on one spot and swaying back and forwards, putting one foot across the other with his arms up in the air in ecstasy. And Prabhupada again said, "And he would dance like this." He beamed at me as he danced there on that small hill in the middle of the field. The light reflected off the golden grass and made his skin look effulgent and golden. Hare Krishna. Nice story. Who had not heard that story before? Wonderful. Then I did the right thing. Moksha, you've heard everything. Prabhupada, when he basically, hit the ground running, as we say. He was keen to spread Krishna consciousness. And it was only 3 days later when he set up the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not in a storefront in New York. That's old news. But he set it up in London, England. And Mukunda, the same person that had been there for that original setting up of ISKCON, he was there for that one. And I interviewed Mukunda one time and I said, "Those seven purposes of ISKCON, can you take me through the history?" So he said, "Well, there were seven purposes for 1966, and there were seven purposes that appear in 1969 in London." He said, "I edited them a little and Prabhupada approved them." So I thought that was interesting. So we have different, slightly different purposes. Anyway, Prabhupada stayed. And in November in 1969, he gave a big program in Conway Hall. Could someone get a little water for me? Someone who's very young and nimble, just a little bit of water. And Prabhupada was giving this hall program. And there was a sort of urgency about Prabhupada in those days. It was only 3 years after starting in New York. Prabhupada wanted to get a certain message out about the simplicity of Krishna consciousness. And you'll find this in Prabhupada's words through the years. So he was in Conway Hall, which is in London. And he's faced with a big group of people. What's the message that Prabhupada wants to get out? What is that message? So here is the message. He says many things. And of course, from Conway Hall, we get that photograph that appears on the masthead, the photograph that appears on the masthead of every Back to Godhead magazine. It's taken by Gurudas from the side of the stage, and Prabhupada is like this. So Gurudas took that. So that photograph comes from Conway Hall. The introduction to the Ishupanishad comes from Conway Hall. And this, very pertinent, how to put everything that I've been speaking about in this lecture that I've just given, this is how to put it into. He says, the process is very simple. Just keep a picture of Lord Chaitanya with his associates. Lord Chaitanya is in the middle, accompanied by his principal associates, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. One simply has to keep this picture. One can keep it anywhere. It is not that one has to come to us to see this picture. Anyone can have this picture in his home, chant this Hare Krishna mantra, and thus worship Lord Chaitanya. That is the simple method. But who will capture this simple method? Those who have good brains. Without much bother, if one simply keeps a picture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at home and chants Hare Krishna, then one will realize God. Anyone can adopt this simple method. There is no expenditure, there is no tax, nor is there any need to build a very big church or temple. Anyone, anywhere, can sit down on the road or beneath a tree and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and worship God. Therefore, it is a great opportunity. And I like that because it's sort of very democratic. It speaks to everybody. All you need is the Hare Krishna mantra and a picture. For me, this kind of sums up Prabhupada's mission. What he was hoping was, I believe, that in every town and village in the United Kingdom, we're just focusing it, based from one of the two London temples, we would be able to distribute books which contain the picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Hare Krishna mantra. And as Prabhupada goes by into the 1970s, he gives further instructions about how that can be done, this expansion of Krishna consciousness. Because without that, the movement doesn't spread. Unless you can actually say that people are keeping a picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting Hare Krishna, what can you say? You can say that we've sold a certain number of books, or we've done this, or we've set up a big temple, but unless people are actually chanting. So let there be victory to the chanting. And so from this dancing on the hill, in the field, telling Kulashekar, this is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to Conway Hall, there is a theme building up. So then we go forward. Okay, so far? 1973. Prabhupada writes a letter in 1973, in January. So he hasn't installed Radha Gokulananda yet, but he's building up his mission of what he wants to have accomplished in the United Kingdom. So we've started going out distributing books. And doing festivals, because these are the two things that Prabhupada told devotees to do. Tribhuvanath Prabhu is, along with Ribati Nandan, Ribati Nandan Swami, he's doing festivals in universities and other towns, and devotees are distributing books. These two things are going on. The London temple is there. They're still looking for Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada sits down in Bombay and he writes to Prabhavishnu in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated January the 1st, 1973, which is quite quick because this is the 3rd of January. Somehow or another, airmail must have been really speedy. I am very glad to hear from you the wonderful news of traveling party in England. I think the people of that place are becoming more and more inclined for this Krishna consciousness, sometimes becoming devotees. All of these are very encouraging signs to me. If you simply go on in this way, stopping in every village and city of England, Scotland, or if there are other places like Ireland, simply stop for some time, distribute books, and hold some kirtan procession, answer their questions, give some leaflets or small informations freely. Distribute prasadam whenever possible, at least some small thing. And if there is genuine interest being shown, then request the townspeople to arrange some engagements for speaking in their schools or in someone's home or a hall like that. In this way, remain always without anxiety for destination and comfortable situations. Always relying only on the mercy of Krishna for your plan. Just go on preaching his message and selling his books wherever there is interest. We shall not waste time if there is no interest or if the people are unfriendly. There are so many places to go, but I understand from your letter. I understand from your letter that practically everyone is taking some interest. That means you are presenting the thing in a very nice manner. See? Interesting. Even then, Prabhupada was making the correlation between the presentation of his books and the acceptance. But I understand from your letter that practically everyone's... That means you're presenting in a very nice manner. They can detect that here are some persons who are actually sincere and nice. Let me hear them. Let me purchase one book. Then Prabhupada comes, and of course, we have the most wonderful thing happen, is that Radha Gokulananda, who he names then, are installed on the 21st of August, 1973, at Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's an occasion to which Shyamasundara invites the worthies of the day, certain professors, the Christian Malcolm Muggeridge, different nuns, different leaders, different writers are invited. And right here in this temple room, Prabhupada installs Radha Gokulananda Haribol. And hence this begins our two-week-long festivities. So Prabhupada's sitting upstairs, and he's seeing that things are going well in the UK. He sees that we've established two temples now. And he's telling everybody around the world about it. He's telling them that we've got traveling parties and we're doing festivals and doing book distribution. So often we hear what Prabhupada wrote to the manor about England. But this is the mood that Prabhupada is in when he's writing letters upstairs at Bhaktivedanta Manor. 3rd of August. This is the very famous one. Book distributors know this off by heart. My dear Rameshwar. Know this one? Every book distributor has this tattooed on his back or his forearm. I noted the contents of your letter with great pleasure. There is no doubt about it. To distribute books is our most important activity. The temple, thank you. The temple is a place not for... Very good, you know this, huh? But as a base from which we send out our soldiers to fight with... Fight with Maya means to drop thousands of... God, you've brainwashed two people. What sort of a cult this is? Thousands of millions of books into the lap of the... Conditioned souls. Just like during wartime, the... Bombs are raining from the sky. Like anything. So you are expert in this field. I like also your program of sending out your best men to teach the others. That is the actual process of Krishna consciousness. So the book distributors would go to teach other people about book distribution, and that made Prabhupada very happy, so he told them. To train others to continue this program, so that in the future, every devotee in our movement will know the art of distributing books. This is approved by me. So Prabhupada is sitting upstairs here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, writing this letter 50 years ago this week. I hope this letter meets you well. It's the same, so at the same time he writes, is it okay? I know it's not the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's better than. Then he writes to somebody called Bahudak. He says, when I hear about the Sankirtan buses that are moving all over the world, then I think that we are becoming like a giant. You don't know this one? This is because buses, these are the devotees that go in the buses. He says, a gigantic guerrilla warfare movement fighting with. This traveling in buses is the best means to drive away Maya. Take that and tattoo it on your forehead in reverse every time you put your tilak on. After all, the whole world is the property of Krishna. But temporarily, it has been illegally occupied by Maya's agents. Flood them with kirtan and books. This is the best weapon. Increase the number of buses. That will be your success. So at one point in America, they had six. How many Yadavar? At least six buses. They were crisscrossing America. Yes, things developed in a particular way at some point. But the principle was good. At one point we were very happy because we would look over to America and we saw Radha Damodar with the six Greyhound buses, and we thought, this is amazing. You know, they were leaders in every field. So we wanted our own buses. So then we ended up getting six Ford Transits. Don't knock it. It was our reply. They were actually Ford parcel vans. We bought them new. They were bright yellow in color and had Lord Chaitanya on the side. Beautiful. And there's a photograph of us all lined up. But it was 1976 by the time we did that. Anyway, Prabhupada really liked buses. Brahmacharis distributing books and buses. So then he writes something on the same day. He's writing to someone who's doing festivals. Now, I'm happy to hear that your program was successful. Bear with me. I know it's difficult to just listen like this. Here also we had some nice programs. Prabhupada's talking about the programs in. He went to Glasgow, famous program in London. Oxford he went also. And in Amsterdam we also staged a nice festival. So this festival program is very, very important. There's two verys there. Very, very important. And it is especially effective for the mass of people. So go on making festivals and make everyone in America Krishna conscious. Okay. Now, is everyone in America Krishna conscious? What happened? Stop the buses, you see. Stop the festivals. So at this point, or just before, Tribhuvanath, who's had a lot of letters from Srila Prabhupada about how wonderful it is that he's going, doing festivals in every town and village. Yes, this is the best thing to do. Meanwhile, the book distributors are getting letters saying, yes, book distribution is the best thing to do. So Tribhuvanath is getting a bit jittery. And he doesn't know, should I, you know, and everybody seems to be coming over from America and telling us here in England, stop the festivals and start doing big book distribution. Because in 1970, Prabhupada had printed the Krishna book. So of course it was like, this is it. We're distributing big, hardbound books. And Prabhupada said, ultimately this pleases me the most. But the festival people, they've got a letter from Prabhupada saying, yes, this pleases me greatly. This is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness to the masses. You know, it is very, very important. Get more buses, do more festivals. So there was a sort of, what does Prabhupada like the most? And of course, throughout Prabhupada's entire preaching mission, there was this confusion. He would write to the pujaris and say, yes, you are doing what is happening in the spiritual world, but you're doing it here on the earth. Therefore, you're the highest placed devotees of Krishna. Yes, you're distributing books. You're great yogis. Even a yogis cannot attain the Krishna consciousness that you did from just one day in the cold on book distribution. And he would write to the people doing festivals. Yes, wonderful festivals. He'd write to the architects. I want a 30-foot temple at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we want the Natural History Museum. We want to buy the Natural History Museum. It is very nice for a temple. You can do? And I want a temple made of glass in Regent's Park so that everybody, when they are driving by, they all see Radha and Krishna. Devotees were like, each devotee was enthused because they thought, like Krishna dancing with the gopis, that Prabhupada is speaking to me personally. I know what Prabhupada really wants. And of course, we had some arguments. What Prabhupada really wants is this. And of course, those arguments go on to today. What Prabhupada really wanted. Best way to start an argument with any other devotee is to say, do you know what Prabhupada really wanted? Do you know what he really, really wanted? No. I have it, documented evidence. Because Prabhupada was sending these letters out to everybody. whatever they wanted to do. Yes, this is the most important thing. Yes, you are doing the greatest work for humanity. So Chiruvanath was very confused. So on a morning walk, he asked Prabhupada, should we stop doing festivals and start doing book distribution? Prabhupada stopped. And as he often did for emphasis, put his cane in the sand. He said, no. He said, everything should go on simultaneously. Everything side by side. These are the words. Everything side by side. So it's not that you close the temple and go out on books. Or it's not that you, not that you stop. I made this mistake in 1976. I made this mistake because I thought that the book distribution letters were the most important. So myself and another couple of devotees, we went to Berry Place Temple. And we told the pujaris that were looking after Radha Landaneshwar, stop looking after the deities. What Prabhupada really wants is book distribution, and you should do that now, and we will show you what to do. So it was so arrogant. Anyway, then the head pujari, Leela Shakti, wrote to Prabhupada and said, is it true that you want us to stop looking after the deities, cut down the offerings and arities and go out on book distribution, because that is what's really, really pleasing to you? So then Prabhupada came. He came. He received this letter and he came. And he made a special point to all of us, all the Brahmachari book distributors at that time. He said, every service to Krishna is equal. Every service to Krishna is equally pleasing. He said, just like an ant falls from the garland of Krishna and falls and kisses the lotus feet of Krishna. He says, this ant is performing devotional service, and Krishna will accept this. So whatever service is given, Krishna will willingly accept it. So he sort of put us in our place. He said, in the material world, he said, if someone is an office cleaner and someone is the boss of the office, there is a difference in their services. He said, but in the spiritual world, if someone is doing this and someone is doing that, there's an equality in their services. Anyway, he really pressed home the point, and we were humbled, especially me and the other devotee. And the other devotee still didn't get it. And he put up his hand at the same meeting and said, Prabhupada, but isn't book distribution really... And then Prabhupada said, look... And then he explained the whole thing again. However, there's two things. Service to Krishna is eternal and equally accepted by Krishna. And yet, in the missionary work of distributing Krishna consciousness to a fallen population, what gets the job done? It's book distribution, festivals, and putting the chanting of Hare Krishna in people's homes. How we do that is by starting small kirtan groups. Very interesting. So, later on, Prabhupada wrote, as a clarification to Chiruvanath and everyone, he said, do not make me another Alexander the Great. He said, Alexander the Great went everywhere and he said, I have conquered. He said, and as soon as Alexander the Great moved on, everything went back the way, same way as possible, as it was before. So he said, do not make me, the Acharya, another Alexander the Great. You say you've gone, you've started something there. If you start Krishna consciousness in a place, do not close it, do not end it, do not stop it. And in 1977, even when he was passing away, Prabhupada asked, he said, how is Edinburgh Temple? Have they opened it again? And Tribhuvanath told me that Prabhupada asked that question twice. Have they opened it again? Because they had closed it. And Prabhupada was very, he was very attached to the Edinburgh Temple because his teachers in school who had embarrassed and humiliated him and tried to teach the Vedic perspective out of him and teach the Christian perspective into him. Prabhupada was very happy when from Scottish Church's College there came the message to Edinburgh that, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when the Edinburgh Temple closed, he was he was very disappointed. So anyway, don't make me an Alexander the Great, another Alexander. If you go somewhere to preach, open it, stay. So then, are we okay? This is another letter from upstairs, from head office. We want to create some men. This goes from book distribution and festivals into creating leaders. We want to create some men who can give guidance to the human society. Because at the present moment, the society is without any intelligent head. Never a true word has been spoken about 2023. Don't just look at the politicians who are leading this country and think, my God, where do they come from? You know, at least politicians in the 60s, okay, they had affairs and there were scandals, but there was a few statesmen among them. Now we have politicians who are career politicians who are not states people at all. Very terrible. Without any intelligent head, namely Brahmins. Therefore, the whole world is confused for want of real guidance in the matter of the ultimate goal of life. They have taken sense gratification as the ultimate goal, and therefore everyone's frustrated because the living entity has nothing to do with the temporary senses. Krishna must be satisfied. So, the Brahmins are supposed to serve the whole society by distributing this important information. Okay. But I often think it's not just about book selling. It's about actually being taken into the confidence by political leaders so that they will listen to a spiritual message which will then inform the population. Okay. It means with sitting with the lords and ladies of the House of Lords, sitting with the members of Parliament, sitting with the Prime Minister and saying, look, you need an upgrade in spirituality. You have a drug problem. You have a social, you know, an asthma problem. You have all kinds of problems and upgrade in spirituality. So Prabhupada wrote a letter to Mukunda after 1973 here. Prabhupada had been here and he'd seen, you know, there was a sort of kickback, a response to, you know, the Beatles endorsement and all of that kind of thing. It didn't last very long because by 1974, when I came here the following year in August, it was only 20 people. 20 people at the manor, 20 people in London. So I asked the devotees, where is the Hare Krishna movement? Because I thought there was this big movement. They said, oh, we're creating it. You have to be part of creating it. I said, okay, sounds like a challenge. But I thought there was this big, big movement going on. So it became big, and we filled up this temple. But Prabhupada wrote a letter to Mukunda. He said, it is very good that you've filled the temple. He said, but how much longer will they go on with their jumping, 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 Haribol, Haribol, Haribol? Try to find me some leaders. Which I think is an interesting, oh dear, to find an interesting, you know, go to the universities, find some leaders. How long will they go on with the jumping, jumping, jumping? So then he writes, sorry about that. So then, in this period now, I want to tell you something that people don't often tell you when they're bashing you over the head with Prabhupada's letters. And you will find Prabhupada's letters blown up and stuck on billboards by the people who want that particular letter to be, you know, the best one, or tattooed on their forehead or stuck on their fridge or something. The fixed Prabhupada is only fixed after 1977. The Prabhupada before 1977 was very flexible. Very flexible. And every 4 months or 6 months, the whole world would get letters, the whole ISKCON world would get letters from Prabhupada saying, okay, basically, to paraphrase, we've tried it like this, now try it like this. I'm very good to see that you have a good idea, now develop that. Prabhupada was very flexible. Here is the principles. Now the details are up to you. I want you to try an experiment. And then, so people thought they tried two experiments. There's an interesting thing in 1973 happened that they're going out on the buses, but they also want to do deity worship because Prabhupada says the deity worship is important. And then they have Gaur Nittai on one of the buses And the Gurnatai falls over on the floor. And they write and they tell Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, this is not good. This is not good. He said, and you do not need to have deities on buses. He said, this is not so easy to worship deities on buses. He said, so therefore just a picture of Guru Garanga, that will suffice. He said, beside, where you're going, people don't know who the deities are. He said, they will not, it will not mean anything for them. He also said that when devotees were going to the universities. He said, don't take Gauranitai into universities. He said, the students will not understand. So, Prabhupada would see the results, and he would change the whole of ISKCON accordingly. So ISKCON was a constant state of development. Then in 1977 through to 1982, we ran with this sort of inventive, let's use Prabhupada's instructions to be creative. And 1982, then our leadership started having difficulties. And then there became a sort of highly, highly conservative wave in ISKCON. Let's go back to Prabhupada's letters and find Prabhupada's letters and just do the things that we know that he wanted us to do. And we stopped being experimental. We stopped being creative. And we stopped sometimes being thoughtful about what we were trying to do. And instead of the Hare Krishna movement, we had the Hare Krishna religion, which became very rigid. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you're young and creative. So if you've got a way that you think things should be done, go for it. Try it. You never know. It might just be pleasing to Prabhupada and Krishna. But gauge by the result. So how have we done over 50 years? How do you think we're doing? How do you think we're doing in all those areas? Deity worship, book distribution, festivals, every town and village, and Harinam, and creation of leadership. How do you think we're doing? Deity worship, Radha Gokulananda. Good? I think so. I think so. What do you think, Prabhuji? Good? We're doing okay? Our best pujaris, excellent, yes. Our best pujaris, of course, we sent them away. One thing England has been good at is sending our devotees away. Because when Bhaktivedanta Manor was created, there was no Krishna consciousness in the rest of the world. So the idea here at Bhaktivedanta Manor was this a training center to send devotees everywhere. And occasionally we would get a letter from Prabhupada, can you give two men to start a temple in Hyderabad? Can you give two men to go to Russia? Can you give three men to go to do this or that? So here's the concept. The Bhaktivedanta is a place for training people, but also a place for sending people to different parts of the world. I was sent to Africa, and I'll give you a list of people that were sent overseas. And it's amazing. We've lost all the best ones. They're all sannyasis now. So we have 10 pujaris in 1973, sometimes six, which is the absolute minimum. Sometimes Prabhupada says, at least 10 Brahmins are needed. In one letter, he says. Another letter, he says, at least six Brahmins. Now we have 160 that we can call upon. 160 Brahmins that we can call upon. So Bhaktivedanta Manor is a Brahmin factory. We are churning them out. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. So we're doing okay. It's always difficult for a head pujari to cover all the offerings and all the arities. Always difficult. Especially when you have 50% ladies who are sometimes on the altar and sometimes not. Head pujari's headache. Don't have this problem in India. Except when the men are off the altar, which is sometimes for other reasons. So we are doing, and we've even had many, many festivals through the years. We've celebrated glorious festivals. And now, in this year, we have Radha Gokulananda visiting people's homes. Book distribution, how are we doing? How are we doing? Oh, yeah? Interesting. You want to hear two figures that are quite shocking? You want to hear two shocking figures? Book distribution. First 20 years, book distribution. How many? 63 million books. 63 million books in our first 20 years. Second 20 years, how many books? 4 million books. What happened? Somebody didn't get a letter from Prabhupada, did they? Somebody took their letter off the fridge. We stopped telling people that that's what Prabhupada wanted. You see? You listening, Shamlal? I told Shamlal here, I said, just go to every town and village in Norfolk. He didn't know any better. He said, well, that's what you're supposed to do. So now he's gone to every town and village in Norfolk distributing books. Haribol. Second round. But now there is a revival. I would like to think that with the Sacred Street Party and Vaisheshika's input and our Indian community coming forward with their own book distributors, we have a revival going on. Festivals, Harinam and Prasadam. How are we doing?
There's a festival tomorrow in Bedford.
A festival tomorrow in Bedford. Lots of spaces in the minibus. And it's only, you know, if you were in America and someone said there's a festival going on, the likelihood they would say it's only 3 hours away. It's only 5 hours. We'll be there in 5 hours. And you go, oh, well, that's not very far. That's America. Here in this country, you say, a space in the minibus and there's a festival. It's only half an hour. Half an hour? What am I going to do for half an hour on a minibus? Small-minded. We have to be English, think American. So yeah, Harinam's going on. Is Harinam in London going on, Deepak? In this. In this present incarnation, it's more than 20 years now. More than 20 years. So you've got the stalwarts. You've got Lokabandhu, Adiguru, Govinda, Deepak's there every time. Sakshi Gopal. Ananda Purushottam, is he London or is he the villages? So we've got Prabhuji, we've got Ananta, Premaranava, Sukadev. And Soho's going out every day. They were making a movie with Tom Hanks. You know the story. Tom Hanks was, it was called The Da Vinci Code. And Tom Hanks was being chased around London by an albino monk. And the director of the movie said, we need a typical London street scene. Red London bus, black taxi cab, and some orange Hare Krishnas jingling down the street. Whatever happened to the orange Hare Krishnas, we sort of changed the color a little bit, didn't we? I say, and I've got this big chair now, and I'm an important senior devotee, I say, bring back saffron. That's what I say. Bring back the saffron. Keshava Maharaj is out of the country now, so bring back saffron. I wore saffron the day I entered. There was no other color. Householders wore yellow. You remember that, Moksha? Householders wore yellow. Prabhupada said, when you go on Harinam, there's a letter, when you go on Harinam, you can wear yellow. So this is a bright color for Harinam. All this white looks like a group of people from a bedsheet factory. Yellow and saffron. And Harinam chadas, yes. So we're doing well, I think. We're doing well with... 1977, Harinam had stopped everywhere. Dhanavir was here, and he was after a revival in Harinam. Harinam had stopped and it had given way to book distribution, because Harinam doesn't make any money, you see. Book distribution makes money. Temple presidents always support book distribution, but they are motivated. Harinam sometimes doesn't get the support it needs because it doesn't make any money. you come back, you've had a great Harinam, the temple president goes, yeah, but, you know, got to pay the bills, boys. So I was in India. I was really, really sick. I was in Vrindavan, and the fan was turning in the ceiling. Dhanavir came, and you know Dhanavir. He's very, I've got this great idea. He's like Tigger, you know, I've got this great idea. Great idea. We're going to revive Harinam. He said, and you can be part of it. I said, So by the time we go, that is where we get the famous pictures of the Bhagalabandis, the Harinam Bhagalabandis back in the 70s. The whole Harinam party wore these Bhagalabandis tie shirts with the Harinam printed on. Anyway, so that was 1977. We started an international newsletter. This was the days before the internet. International newsletter from Bhaktivedanta Manor called the Harinam Amrita. The Harinam Amrita. And just like recording the scores of... Because Prabhupada had told Dhanavir that he could do a newsletter which was recording the scores of the new devotees. It's called the Bhakta Program Newsletter. Just like the Sankirtan scores, there's new devotee scores, and he did another newsletter called the Harinam scores. So how many people went on Harinam? For how long? How many festivals? How many pieces of prasadam? And this was distributed all over the world, and different parts of the world then started to have a Harinam revival. Hooray! So it's going on. Now, as well as dancing Harinam, we have this very strange phenomenon called sitting down Harinam. Have you seen it? You've seen what they do? They sit down for 2-3 hours and they have a Harinam. Very interesting concept, but it seems to work. So Om Nom, Neil's Yard, Mantra Lounge, happening. I'm doing very well. I went to the recent Islington Union Chapel Sankirtan concert by Radhika Ranjan. 900 people for 2.5 hours, nearly 3 hours of Harinam. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's happening, kids. The revolution is on. And it's televised this time. How are we doing with Lord Chaitanya's picture books and the holy name in everyone's home, in every town and village? How are we doing? How many groups of Krishna consciousness people are there? Do you know? How many books did we distribute last month? Do you know? This is how it goes. How many books did we distribute last month? Everybody knows, down to the last half book point. How many people are chanting Hare Krishna? Nobody ever knows. How big is your movement? They ask us. Nobody ever knows. Why do we never know? Sometimes I'd hate to think it's because we're not interested. How many groups of people, how many kirtan groups, how many people sit down for kirtan in the evening in this country at least once a week or once every 2 weeks? Do you know? You should find out. I asked Kanaya. He didn't know. No one seems to know. But most of them have been started by devotees from this temple. This temple was directly responsible for starting Cardiff in Wales, for finding the current temple president in Cardiff. This temple was responsible for Scotland, opening up Scotland. Bhaktivedanta Manor was responsible for opening up Manchester, Nottingham, Birmingham, all these different places, and is still funding these different places in different ways. So Bhaktivedanta Manor, I would like to say, is the hub of a great wheel of Krishna consciousness throughout the country. So somebody here should know how many groups there are. Well, I count 70. Minimum 70. In England, Ireland, Wales and Scotland. A lot of them are in London. But I know there's more than 70. If you... Please do not have the provincial identity that Bhaktivedanta Manor is somehow a small provincial temple meant to look after the congregation of North London. If you do that, we will lose the legacy the Prabhupada gave us. The legacy the Prabhupada gave us is ideally that Bhaktivedanta Man is the hub which sends out people all over the country and starts Krishna consciousness in every town and village. But over the last 50 years, and I will finish, over the last 50 years, the manor has become the foremost place in the world for training and developing sannyasis. And here they are in alphabetical order. Okay. Raghubir became Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. Now travels through South Africa a lot, and Latvia and the Eastern Bloc. Bhaktivigna Vinashana was Bhishringa. He's in China, preaching to thousands of people in China, in Chinese. Huh? Bhaktivikash Swami was Ilapati. Bhaktivikash Swami. He was sent to Bangladesh, learned how to speak Bengali, learned how to speak Hindi, and now preaches in southern India, where he's reviving Varnashram Dharma, writing books, and is famous all over the world. He was from here. I know, because I met him in that little alcove there, that little alcove where the seats are. I sat on one side, he sat on the other side, and I was telling him about how to do Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. But from here, he went to the other part of the world. Who else? Jananda Swami went to Malaysia. There was nothing in Malaysia. There was hardly anything in France. Now he's in France. He went to India and is preaching up a storm wherever he goes, every single day. He's from here. He was our treasurer. Who else did we send? Mahavishnu Swami. He's just, I think he's preaching on Mars this week. He went to preach to Elon Musk. Elon Musk said, yeah, look, go, just go. He goes to South America, he goes to North America, he goes to, of course, Nepal, Malaysia, India. He was there for a long time. Somebody that you won't know, because he's never come back, but he started here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Parthasarathy Goswami. You ever heard of him? Didn't think so. Oh, you have? Parthasarathy Goswami. Doesn't he come from Guildford or Maidenhead or Reading or some of that area? And he went to South Africa, never came home, never came back. So our chief export has been all these wonderful souls. If they all came back, if everybody that Bhaktivedanta Manor had ever sent to different parts of the world all came back, what do you think the UK would have been like? What do you think it would have been like? We would have had a dozen sannyasis crisscrossing the country. But it doesn't go on. It doesn't finish. Prabhu Vishnu Swami went to Nepal and India and Australia and different parts of the world and Russia. Subhag Swami, we can claim him. Yes, I know he was from somewhere else, but I'm talking about Bhaktivedanta Manor as a vehicle of character formation and development and holding on to devotees until they get sent somewhere else, Subhag Swami. Oh, Vrajendra Nandan Swami, from here, went to Malaysia and India. And of course now, our very own, Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj, who we've also sent somewhere else. What is this thing when you take sannyas? You have to go somewhere else. I don't think we should make any more sannyasis. They should just, you know, wear another color and we can send them to Sheffield or something. So in addition to this, we have a very influential school of bhakti, which is very, very much online. This is something Prabhupada never talked about, but he did talk to Yadavara Prabhu about film. Talked about Yadavara about making films about Krishna consciousness being the very good way to spread Krishna consciousness, I'm sure. And film and radio and TV appearances and newspaper appearances by devotees from this country have gone all over the world. And online, of course, you can be anywhere. And that's it. Our school of bhakti is... And our mentorship, of course, our mentorship system and our initiation system. I don't think, I may be very biased, but outside of Chaupati, I don't think there's an equivalent mentorship system which has produced so many initiated devotees. It's wonderful. And of course, we shouldn't forget that, you know, we are making lots and lots of devotees. My question would be as to whether they're hearing these messages from Prabhupada, because we have to make a correlation between the number of devotees that we produce and the number of devotees that go on for preaching, the preaching mission. If it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, then let's stop initiating people, because the initiation is not including mission. If the mission's getting smaller, but the number of initiates is getting bigger, something's not quite right. So we have to say, if you're initiated, and particularly if you're a Brahmin, you either have to do deity service or you have to do preaching of some kind. There are many, many excuses why people can't do preaching. Usually because I have a career, I'm at university, I have a career, I have children, I have a wife, I have this, I have that. So, but everybody can do something, I think, isn't it? Everybody can do something. There you are. So Bhaktivedanta Manor has also played a large role in helping to fund other temples in the UK. We don't get to hear about that because it all happens when the big boys sit down to have discussions. There's a new roof in Leicester. Bhaktivedanta Manor helps. Something else needed over here. Bhaktivedanta Manor helps. You know, Cheesecake Factory in Wales. Bhaktivedanta Manor helps. Solar roof. Solar panels for a roof in Spain, Bhaktivedanta Manor helps. Goshala in India, Bhaktivedanta Manor helps. So, and of course, we didn't even talk about cows. Bhaktivedanta Manor started with one cow, and now we have expanded into how many? 73. Going to be 74, okay. 73 cows. They must have done that too. There's a lot. Well, there were 67 last time I asked. So they've had a few more bulls. 60? 6 this year. 67 add 6 makes 73. That's a lot of talent there. And of course, Bhaktivedanta Manor has also created the Ahimsa Farm, you know, in Rutland, which has another 15. Okay, producing a whole Ahimsa milk factory. So, my dear Prabhus, things are happening. Be there or be square. Be part of the revolution or watch it on TV. But if you want to be part of the revolution, you should know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ample reward. Srila Prabhupada has ample blessings. And I'm very glad, Prabhuji, that you've come back from Mayapur now. In your older years, and you're going to be stationary here in the United Kingdom and serving Radha Gokulananda. Wonderful, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Festivals ki jai. Harinam ki jai. Book distribution ki jai. Expansion ki jai. Mission ki jai. Thank you for watching at home. Thank you for watching at home, and thank you for watching on YouTube. Hare Krishna.